Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as the Used Book Guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike next to Johnny. Today, we are separating fact from fiction. So if I told you that my current age was 43 years old, do you think that's fact or do you think that's fiction?
Fiction.
There you go, right? It's kind of easy to do these things. But in the reselling space, there is both a lot of facts and a lot of fictions, and a lot of the fictions come with opinions, right? And us as, I don't know, I like to think we're kind of like Batman and Robin. I don't care if I'm, you know, Robin, dude. If you want to be Batman, I'll let you be Batman. You know, I probably look better in the red than the all black anyway. So I think of us as kind of like Batman and Robin, and we have to do what's right. And I think the big thing about doing what's right is telling people from real experiences and backing it up with real numbers that, hey, here is the potential. Hey, here is exactly how you can achieve X, Y, and Z, because here's exactly how we achieved it. And it's not like we have some secret unicorn that me and Johnny ride on and we magically get the best books, right? We magically get the most inventory. There's nothing proprietary to me or Johnny's business at all. And when you have that in place and you build the business, you can say, all right, well, here, if you want to make $5,000 a month, here's exactly how many pieces of inventory you need to have, right? If you want to list X amount of items on eBay, you want to have better quality listings on eBay, here's exactly what I do, right? It's facts. Everything we talk about, everything we do is factually backed up by the business. And I think that is like, there are, you know, there's a handful of really good resellers that do exactly what we're talking about. But I think the problem with reselling is it's so catchy and so get rich quick type of stuff that for every, you know, podcast like us, there's five others that are like, oh, just go start TikTok affiliate and get rich today. And it's like, wow, that sounds great. But like, where do I even begin?
Yeah, I mean, my unicorn's not so secret. It's real, and I tell everybody I have a unicorn. But no, I mean, you're absolutely right. We don't do anything special. We just do the same thing over and over again, and we're not in it for the flash. Like, hey, look at my $1,000 book. No, it's just widgets to us, and we send in our widgets, and we get paid, or we list our widgets on whatever reselling platform, and we get paid. The people wanting to talk about numbers, but they're false numbers. They're mainly just flashy, gross numbers. They aren't their true net. And it's like, doesn't do anything for me. You could maybe be making 10% of that whole number, for all I know. Your overhead's so high, you're making negative dollars. It doesn't really tell me anything about them. Not that it's any of my business, I get it. But when you put yourself out there like that,
It is our business, dude. If someone says, hey, you start selling on Pango books or Abe books, you can make $10,000 a month, right? Like, then it becomes our business, because if you're in our communities, or even if you're posting a comment, right? Like, it's misleading information, because anybody can say anything out there. Anybody can be like, yeah, oh, start this and you'll make $5,000 a month. And it's like, okay, well, you know, even with the numbers, right? Because you even hit it. You know, numbers don't mean shit. And when somebody says I'm selling $10,000 a month, for all you know, they could be losing goddamn money, right?
Yeah, exactly. They could be in the red so far down and credit card debt up to their eyeballs, and they are hop, skipping a jump away from filing Chapter 11.
I think the problem is it's hard to focus on something for a long period of time, right? I mean, I just think about the hundreds of thousands, millions of items we've scanned, like between me and you, right? Like, dude, it's not glorious by any stretch of the imagination.
I can't tell you the book I scanned last Tuesday, let alone yesterday. I mean,
yeah, I mean, like I had a long thrifting day. It was like 8 to 7 or whatever. I go in the pawn shop and there's like 3,000 DVDs, and I'm just like, FML, man. Like, I'm gonna be here forever. Like, what a life to lead. I'm in this grubby pawn shop scanning stuff, and like, it's not exciting. And I think that's where the I guess I don't know what it would be called, but like the temptation to try something else instead of just focusing on that. I mean, all of the different business models we've seen over the years we've been doing this podcast, and every single one, I just wave a goodbye, right? Even if there's people in my ear like, hey, Whatnot's catching fire, right? When Whatnot first started to pick up steam, I'm like, there ain't no shot, right? Like, I know what I can get away with in Amazon land. eBay Live, right? That was one I heard, people whispering about, like, oh, eBay Live's going to pick up, oh, yeah. And then even other completely different business models, right? Like online arbitrage and retail arbitrage. I'm just like, just send me on my way with my scanner and let me just scan all the doodads and send them in a box. And I think it's hard. I do think that's probably the biggest thing is consistency and not getting bored of what you're doing, even if it makes you money. People still, dude, people can make serious money in this, right? I've literally have seen this happen firsthand. People make $10,000, $20,000 a month doing exactly what me and you do. And for some reason, dude, that little devil on their shoulder is like, hey, yeah, I got a new business venture for you. And then they start to, kind of neglect their main source of income, their business. And you just they kind of it's just a never ending cycle of, and then you slowly, slowly, slowly go away.
Right. I mean, I get it. What we do is the same thing and it's boring. And when you're bored, you'll do anything to do something that's not boring. But when you're stacking cash in your bank account, I don't know. You should stay bored. Now, if you want to try something out on an experimental level, sure, but it should be getting experimental effort. It shouldn't be getting your full effort, or your primary effort. And it's kind of hard when you're in the community and somebody says, we're gonna do this now because it's amazeballs and I'm making amazeballs kind of money. And you're a fool if you don't want to make amazeballs money with me. And then everyone's like, okay, I guess we'll do this. It sounds dangerous, but okay, I trust you, amazeball guy. And you just see this huge swing. I saw this like with RA or the whole Nike thing, the Nike outlet thing for that still goes on. It's just I see it over and over and over again, these little fads that pick up and then they fade for like 1 or 2 years, and then what was left before is still here. It's just like, why don't we just do the still heres all the time?
It's a delicate balance, man, because think about it, right? Like the people we have in our groups, we can't make drastic changes, right? Like we can't, what Johnny's saying, like if I go into the Discord and we got a weekly call later today and Johnny's call later this week, and it's like, hey, well, Johnny's not gonna list the same way on eBay. He's done doing his own listings, he's only using AI, right? And Mike's done using the certain software that he uses to, reprice his items.
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
People will change right along with, like, it's almost the blind leading the blind in the reseller space. So when me and Johnny try things, and we've tried plenty of things, most of them never make it to the surface because they wind up sucking, right? But like we have made, some pretty significant improvements trying different things, but it's something we try, get results, and then evaluate, is this something that we think other people should do in their business? Because we know when we say something that maybe somebody out there tries exactly what we did. And for me personally, I always want to lead people down the path where there's the least amount of risk, so you don't get banned, and you can make the decent amount of money, right? Like, I'm not promising you're ever going to be a millionaire by any stretch of the imagination, but I feel like if you want to grow this business from 0 to 20 grand a month, like I have the blueprint for you to do that. After 20,000, all right, listen, you're on your own. All right, hotshot, you should have enough money. You can get yourself a nice little space, whatever it may be. But the things we try, you know, I'll give an example of a real life example, like sending in the fast moving inventory, regardless of what it's selling for, right? Tried that for months. You know, I skewed it out. We can see exactly what's going on. How many of those are we actually selling? And then we could say, hey, maybe if you're dealing in bulk inventory, maybe you should try this and just see what kind of results you get. You got to tread lightly now, especially you, because now, you know, you got your own group, your own YouTube channel, and you can't make crazy rash decisions and put them out there or just like throw random opinions out there, right? Like we had, Max is in the Discord the other day saying, oh, I'm changing my repricer. And people are like, oh my God, what's going on? Like, I'm just like, everybody relax, right? Like, everybody just calm down.
Well, I had to learn this lesson pretty hard, and I felt bad afterwards. Felt mainly bad for myself. But when I was doing my send everything to Amazon model, they just like, okay, we can. There's no restock limits anymore. I was like, all right, I'm gonna play an experimental this year and see what happens. That experiment went really well for 9 months and really terrible for the last 3 months of the year. And people were copying me and telling me this. I'm like, I told you, don't do it. I'm running an experiment. I don't have the final results in, but this is what I'm doing. People were doing it anyway, and I'm pretty sure they suffered the same results that I did by copying me. I felt bad for them
Dude,
a little bit.
I know someone. I got one-on-ones with the guy. I won't expose his name and everything, but he did exactly your model. And but I'll tell you what, he did the same thing you did, right? He hit the same exact point where, you know, you're like, all right, well, maybe this doesn't make sense. And dude, he's doing better than he ever has nowadays. So
I
maybe,
mean,
yeah.
I took some positive things away and stuff that I'll continue to do, but the end result, it doesn't work. You can't outpace it. I mean, unless you're constantly hiring employees but that's a never ending redlining your overhead. You will never win.
It's hard, dude, because there's so many resellers, like social media resellers and YouTube resellers, man. It's hard to find good resellers. I mean, it is really hard to find somebody that's going to be transparent and show you the exact processes, because what we're talking about, I mean, I guess me and Johnny don't care, right? Like we can tell you everything, and we know most people aren't going to take action. Like I have nothing. There's not. I wish I had some stuff that I could hide, right? Like some secret things, right? Like, but unfortunately, I don't, and I still put it all out there because I know at the end of the day, I'm still gonna go and I'm still gonna scan and I'm still gonna find stuff. I believe there's enough media for us all to make a decent amount of money on Amazon. So a lot of people out there that are in the reselling space, that if they have some type of secret sauce, they're hesitant to put it out there, and I don't blame them one bit, right? But then the same thing is, you can't go give your opinions and tell somebody, hey, go sell, just give this generic blanket statement of like, hey, go sell on eBay, you can make $30,000 a month. I am, well, I could go buy a damn scratch off ticket and win $1 million. I mean, you're basically telling me the same
That sounds
thing.
like the better play right there. But no, I mean, yeah, I learned to watch what I say, even if I'm running an experiment. I don't really say I'm running experiments anymore because
No.
I don't want people to take it as the gospel set in stone truth of, hey, this sounds great. Johnny's doing it. I'm going to do it. So you're very much right. I got to watch what I say these days because people may, what do they call it? Lemmings who jump into the ocean blindly?
Dude, I'm basically illiterate. You're talking to the wrong person.
Yeah. A frog heading into incoming traffic. I don't know.
I have had an experiment going on now since the beginning of the year, and it's been successful depending on how you look at it. And I'm still not sure if I want to put it out there because it doesn't pertain
No,
to
don't do it.
reselling.
Keep it to yourself.
It doesn't really pertain to reselling as in reselling, but it's not like I'm getting one over on everybody. I wish I was. I wish I could have like this trump card. I just be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm the best, and I never told anybody up until this point, but you all suck because of this one thing that I do that you don't.
Oh man. I mean, there's very little innovation in what we're doing, and
Yeah.
the innovation that we do attempt, it's usually been done before, but we are arrogant, or at least I'm arrogant enough to think I can do it better somehow. And I try things, or maybe I have a half-cocked idea and I don't know really the outcome, The math's kind of funny because it's Excel math, right? But what's the real math play out in Amazon land or eBay land? The only way to know is to try it and find out. And a lot of those things, they just don't work, honestly. And usually what's been said over the last 20 years, that still holds up. There's no really reinventing the wheel. Now, do new and different opportunities come along? Do new and different pieces of equipment come along and or streamlining of systems? Yes, with technology and all that. We've got AI pretty much at our fingertips. So I believe there's innovation there, but as far as the day-to-day, you're still listing, you're still sending in boxes. It's pretty much the same. Now, repricers get fancier these days, sure. The listing process, though, I think we've taken a step back in the listing process with the softwares as of late, but we can blame Amazon on that one.
Yeah, I think you have to look at each platform and like maybe we can just dive into each one and think like maybe some blanket statements that we see all the time. Like Amazon, you can make a lot of money fast is like the biggest thing. And like you can, like Johnny said at the beginning of this, you can show off your orange bars on your phone that you're doing $20,000 a month, right? Like within 6 months if you really go hard. It's not, Amazon's not fast money by no stretch of the amount. Anybody that tells you Amazon's fast money, you need to run the opposite direction because it is not fast money. It's nowhere close, at least a month, probably closer to 2 months till you get your money if you sell an item. So just have that in the back of your mind. I think we kind of trip that over to eBay. I think the eBay challenge is you can make a lot of money on eBay. And a lot of people say, yeah, I just sell my stuff on eBay and I make $5,000 a month. Well, it's a blanket statement here. What are you selling? What type of listing quality are you doing, right? Like, there's so many other things. And it's not that blanket statements are misleading, but they kind of sort of are to a new person who's looking to start. Because when they just see the comment or the social media short reel, TikTok that says, hey, I just started selling on eBay this first month and I made $10,000. Well, sure, if you had, a gold necklace sitting around your house that was yours that you wanted to get rid of and it sold for, $10,000, and sure, yeah, that you're I guess your numbers check out. I guess you could sleep easy at night, but it's still kind of misleading. And then, if we kind of switch from the eBay, you look at the other big one is Whatnot, right? Just go sell on Whatnot. Well, I mean, most resellers don't understand, and most resellers aren't content creators. So the idea that you can just, hey, go start a Whatnot and sell $5,000 your first month. No, you need to have a personality, right? You got to be willing to get quality items at a really low price and take some of the money some of the time because not all of your items are going to sell in the beginning because you're not going to have an audience. But sure, it sounds great at the surface level, right? People tell me and Johnny, go start Whatnot. And if we wanted to, sure, we could, but we understand there's other. I think that's why we stay in our lanes, dude, because we know for every one of these statements, there's like 50 other things that go into actually building that business the right
Yes,
way that is not talked about.
it'd be a whole podcast just trying to cover one aspect of it. We could do that, but it'd be boring and dull to people that are already doing it, which is most of our listenership. We had her on a while ago, but Hunley had a great quote that she uses from time to time. Everybody chooses their hard. So what's your hard? Is it Amazon hard? Is it eBay hard? Is it Whatnot hard? They all got different shades of what hard means. And it's just what's your tolerance level. Now, I will say that once you get over the software hurdles and the sign up hurdles and waiting for your money hurdles, Amazon's pretty straightforward. Now, do they throw us an email once every 3 months? Do they break the buy box every other month? Yeah, but that's just part of the game. But after that, it's just easy and stay in the course, essentially.
I mean, it's the same thing with your eBay though, right? Like the type of books you sell, right? You have that figured out. And if somebody came to you and was like, "Hey, Johnny, how are you making $10,000 a month on eBay?" You'd be like, "Well, here's my 55,000 step process because I know you. It's not even
It's
under 10
ridiculous.
steps." He pulls out a book that's like this thick. It just slaps it. Start reading from page one, Mister.
Like when I had my photographer come in at the beginning of the year, I had three sheets of paper explaining how to take photos. But it was for all scenarios, to be fair, for different book types. He looked at me and I was like, Yeah, we're just gonna do this section today. This is a little small piece. We'll work up to these other parts of the sheet. Don't worry, kid.
I think, dude, I think one thing that's under, I guess, under talked about, it's not even a goddamn saying, but I just made it one. One thing that's under talked about, is choosing a platform based on what you want to sell. I think this
Yeah.
is huge. I think based on the type of items you want to sell, you have to decide on a platform that best caters to that, right? Like, I do think Amazon, if you want to scale a media business, is going to be your best route when it comes to overall workload and kind of how big you can grow as one person. Now, if you start talking about collectibles and video games and jewelry and car parts, right, and clothing, it's not Amazon by no stretch of the imagination. Like, Amazon loses across the board in a lot of, almost the majority of other categories are not a good fit for Amazon, in my opinion, just because the return policy is ridiculous, right? And you can't afford to sell high price items to get, kind of scammed all the time. But I do think you have to, what you choose to sell, you have to make a decision what platform's going to be the best. Not just because Johnny's on eBay or Mike's on Amazon or vice versa. You have to say, well, I'm going to sell trading cards. Well, then guess what? Amazon ain't it. So now you got to choose. You want to do the live selling or do you want to sell on eBay? And you got to make a decision there. Do you want to sell on TCG Player, right? Like, there's even these other niche sites that, aren't the big players that still might even be better for your category based on what you're selling.
Right. And then are you selling new? If you are, there's a lot of risk management to factor in. Who's going to ding you the hardest and how soon? Or versus on some other platform where they don't really care that you're selling new. It's fine. The brands might come after you, but the platform's going to leave you alone. And so you got to take all these little things into consideration. If you're not married to a widget, go for the easy money. And I'm not going to say that's a bad statement. Let's say the least path of resistance money. We'll go with that. And that's probably Amazon, honestly. But if you care about the objects you're selling, it may not be Amazon. Like my little mass markets, they don't do so well on Amazon. I can make a lot more money putting those up on eBay, though it takes me a little longer to, as far as the listing process goes, but I'm A-okay with that. I like doing it. Then if you're wanting to sell stuff for the goal of getting an audience, like a social media brand presence, then Whatnot's probably your play, honestly. If you're wanting to, A, you're the brand. So if you decide to pick up and set up shop somewhere else, well, you got a following. It's probably gonna, most of them are probably gonna follow you around wherever you end up going.
Yeah, but you can't have like the personality of Eeyore.
No, or Bill Nye the Science Guy,
Hey
or
guys, welcome
yeah.
back to my Whatnot show.
It's
It
like I
might
want
work, dude. It
to.
might work.
Here's a Skittle palette of drugs. Please take these so I can be entertained.
And I do think this, right? I think what me and Johnny are saying, you're going to find winners regardless.
Yeah.
And I just challenge you all, when you find somebody that's winning and doing kind of what you want to do, I do believe most resellers are willing to kind of say, hey, here's kind of what got me here, because a lot of us have built this from nothing and have kind of changed our financial path, right? Like clothing, like I would never do clothing. I think it's an absolute grind, but there are people that absolutely crush clothing. And I'm like, I don't know how you do it, but kudos to you. And if I ever do want to learn how to do it, then I know where I can turn and look to. It's crazy the. Even like the car parts, right? Like
Yeah.
it's there's opportunity and there's successful people. You just have to find ones that are willing to kind of tell you like it is. It's not always, it's hard for me, and I've gotten better at this, telling somebody that you got to change your business, right? Like this isn't going to work. This isn't sustainable. I used to stray away from like telling people like your business sucks, but like, and kind of taking the Johnny route and being like, hey, you got to just work harder. But I have gotten better at that. And at the end of the day, like we said, all we do, it's consistency. And all we care about is scanning the most stupid items with our scanner. You're looking over on YouTube, like, without this, I don't exist. Isn't that crazy to think, dude? If I don't have my scanner, I can't go do nothing because I don't know nothing. But that's why I love Amazon. I don't need the skill set,
So in
right?
the book Apocalypse, when your scanner fails, I'll be okay. I'll protect you, Mike.
No, I will have the database downloaded from like 20
But your
years
battery
ago.
is gonna die unless you like get a potato to wire up to it.
That's why I guess that's why I wound up in Amazon land is because I seen it as there's no possible way I want to learn everything there is to learn about books or even sit down and spend time if I can just go and work harder than people and just scan more items and I can get better results than like I'm everybody that knows me is going to agree with me. I'm more confident in my ability to outscan people than the confidence I have in knowing what books are profitable and having any type of book knowledge.
Right. I mean, if you ever watch like a let's go shopping or haul video or even some of your scanning videos, they're what, 15, maybe 20 minutes all in all. But the reality of time spent to produce that 15 minutes of content, I promise you guys, is hours easy. To scan an entire wall of books, you're seeing it in 15 minutes condensed down. It's an hour, maybe two. It just depends how granny you're going to be with it. And I think people trying to get into it, oh, I got 15 minutes to spare. Even if you say it took you an hour or 2 hours, what they're seeing until they experience it, it doesn't click for them. They just think it's a 15, 20 minute thing. It's not.
Yeah, I think you're right too. I think a lot of people, even to this day, still cut corners on scanning things. I
Yeah.
think a lot of people still go in and I still think they try to, well, that shelf doesn't look good, so I'm not gonna scan it. Or that's fiction books. I'm not gonna scan those. Or like them trade paperbacks, right? Like no matter how many of those I post, Johnny, like the trade paperbacks, we can post them until we're dead. People still ain't gonna even
I
look at
know.
even gonna look at the damn things. And like I get excited when I see the trade paperbacks because it's something different than me scanning, right? Because I'm just gonna look for trade paperbacks like movie tie-ins and things like that. So
Yep.
like that excites me, but I know people see that whole section and they're just like, "Damn, I'm not wasting my time."
Yeah, they thumb their nose up at it, or it's terrible. But
Yeah.
I'm okay with that because it's more money for me. It means the market less saturated. But there's other things like that. I mean, I bought like cassettes, honestly, but I know there's money in it. I know several people, even you've made money with cassettes that do it. I think it's a harder game to play overall, but there's definitely money in it. And even in clothes or the toy collectible crowd or the movie memorabilia crowd, there's money all over the place. What's another one that's a paper product? Ephemera. I think ephemera is a very hard game to play. It's very specialized. And you really got to know what you're doing because it's like all paper products essentially that aren't books or whatever. And knowing about postcards and receipts or photos of dead children, they don't got their eyes closed because they're alive, they're dead. But there's weird markets for everything, and there's a buyer for that stuff everywhere.
I think another thing that I take into consideration is like how readily available is the stuff that you sell. If I'm going to
That's
put a
true.
statement out there that, hey, you can go make $10,000, well, how many items are you selling? Where can I find this stuff? Right. And every single source that that we go to is out there, right? Like library sales, estate sales, flea markets, thrift stores. Pawn shops, there's another one, record stores. It's all out there. So when I tell somebody, I can say it with confidence that, hey, if you want to make X amount of dollars, here's exactly what you do, right? How many places do you have around you that you can go source? That's the biggest thing we need to understand from the beginning, because that's going to decide if you want to do this business, if you're going to have to get bulk inventory, or is it possible just to run kind of thrift routes like I do? And it's all reverse engineerable from there. But that's another thing that comes into it because there's, if somebody's selling designer bags or, car parts, well, if you don't got a place you can get the stuff, right, then that's not going to be feasible. So it sounds good at the surface level, but when you start peeling it back, and we sell stuff that's everywhere, thankfully. I think like almost 99% of the households in America have one piece of media in the house, whether that's a
Yeah.
book, CD, DVD, cassette, record, whatever that may be. So it's everywhere for us. And I guess that kind of makes it easier. And I guess that makes us a little bit more jaded when we hear people talk about other business models and they're like, just go start selling PSA 10 graded Pokemon cards. And I'm like, shoot, yeah, well, if I could find them anywhere, of course I would. I'm out here scraping the bottom of the barrel for a $12 book.
Yeah, but going back to like the following me just because you're a person of influence kind of thing. Taking the person out of it, I mean, I see people try to follow trends like this, like whatever's like, I don't know, the hottest Christmas gifts or whatever. You got that small, narrow window, and if you're behind that window, you're gonna lose a whole bunch of money, or you're doing it at the height and it's gonna be in a decline, you're not gonna make as much money. You gotta be prepared to do that. And then I see people jump from trend to trend to trend to trend to trend. They really don't have a business. They're just trying to do what people are screaming about that's popular for, I don't know, 15 minutes. And they don't have a full business because they're usually on that mid to they've lost a whole bunch of money kind of thing. And they're trying to chase. And I'd rather not chase. I'd rather do something that's steady all the time, whether that's eBay or Amazon or anything really. I mean, and I get the appeal. People want to make a quick buck. Everybody does, right? I mean, we mentioned earlier the lotto ticket. That's the quickest buck there is, right? Walk in the gas station, walk out, and turn on the TV and hope. But I'd rather not hope. I'd rather have a guarantee, honestly.
I think another advantage we have is, okay, I believe you can make $1,000 selling any category in the universe, but I also think to myself, is this scalable, right? Like Johnny's saying, I've done some of these chase the bolo type items, right? Like I flipped COVID tests when they were at like when you couldn't find them anywhere. It was like a certain brand one, and you could buy them for like $15 and they were selling for like $60 each. And like I would literally would list them while still in the store and they would sell before I checked out. And like I was driving all around town, right? Like getting them all, selling them all. But like, okay, I made probably like $1,000, we'll say on that. But like that's it, dude. It's done, right? Like that business doesn't
One and
exist
done.
today.
You got to find another one and
That
done.
business didn't even exist like a month after I did it because they stopped letting people price gouge because I was selling them on eBay. And they wouldn't even let me sell the damn things anymore, right? So like Johnny said, like what's the risk associated with? And another one that I was doing, shit, what was it?
Remember there's that Cracker Barrel like ghost lantern thing that they put out once a year, and people go crazy for that thing.
I believe it, dude. It's like anything that's limited edition, right? People that go to like the theme parks and buy stuff. That you know, or like the movie theater popcorn buckets, right? Like the
Or
you go to
the new
the.
Disney pens or weird stuff like that.
I guess if you're into running around the world, like going to all the stores and looking for stuff, maybe that's somebody's jam, right? Maybe somebody's like, yeah, I love going to every Target
It
or
certainly
Walmart.
wouldn't be boring. I mean, you're trying to get there within store hour windows, hoping they have, I don't know, 10 units.
Yeah, I think that works, right? So when somebody says they sell $10,000 a month in Furbies, right? Like, so be it. I mean, if they say, hey, I go to 30 Targets and 20 Walmarts, and this is exactly how I do it. Sure. But, you know, it sounds good. Like, cool. How do I sell $10,000 in Furbies? And then you're like, you got to go to at least 20 Targets. I'm like, well, I got like three Targets in like a 50-mile radius. So this 100% is not going to work for me. On
Your
to the
back
next
seat
one.
is filled up with pre-filled gas cans, and on the way back, you're chucking them out because you need rooms for all the
It's a I
Furbies.
you just gotta find out what you want to sell, where's the best place to sell it, and do you have enough of it in your area to build a business on? And if you don't have enough, even if it's something that interests you, right? I'm sure there's a Furby supplier out there somewhere, right? So you can have pallets and gaylords of Furbies delivered to your garage or your storage unit if you wanted to. But these are the next level questions that we don't think about when we see that initial flash of start selling on Amazon and make $20,000 a month. You're like, well, dude, if I had $20,000, right? And they never, Amazon sellers never, ever say that line based off their profit. It's always this. I've never, ever heard of Amazon. I'm even guilty of it because I just like joining in on the fun. I made $20,000 a month on Amazon, made in quotation marks.
Living the dream, right? Yeah, I mean, as far as what we're doing, some of it's a little bit forecastable. I mean, all the actresses and actors and musicians, we kind of know some of them are getting up in years, and maybe you want to hold on to, I don't know, what's her name? Just got in the hospital. Dolly Parton, right? She just got recently checked in the hospital. She is up there in years. She's the same as a share, by the way. I found that interesting. But anyway, if you know somebody's in dwindling health and you have a whole bunch of their stock in, maybe now's the time to send it in before, well, I hope they don't die, but they die, and then the prices skyrocket out of that stuff for a quick minute. Same for anything that hasn't come to film or it's a reboot of a film that's coming out. Well, that stuff, you've got months, sometimes years in advance that this stuff is going to hit mainstream media. It's going to come out in theaters again or be released on television. You got the Stephen King Welcome to Derry thing coming up. I bet you there'll be a little uptick in Stephen King type stuff. I bet Mike's paycheck on
It's not much. You bet Mike's paycheck that's coming from Johnny. It's not much.
it.
It's
It's tiny.
I do. I guess I'm gonna wrap it up here, right? Because I don't think it's bad to take risk in life, and I do think being an entrepreneur is the best way to get ahead financially in this country, or anywhere in the universe, as a matter of fact, because you control your outcome, right? Most of the time. You are the business, you run the business, you decide how profitable and not profitable you can be. There's going to be changes along the way. But I look back to kind of, I fell for it, right? How I started an Amazon. It's not like, I just was like, hey, I found somebody that was, the used book guy before the used book guy. I listened to a podcast with Romer the Roamer and John Muscarella, and neither of them sell books anymore. And I'm still here selling books. I don't know how I feel about that, but
Circle of life, Mike.
It's that kind of, but I guess the saving grace of that was is, John, he lives 20 minutes from me, so like he's in my backyard. So I was like, well, if this guy can do it in my area, then clearly there's a path to do this if he's doing it in my area. But I kind of took a risk, and I've taken many big risks in life, and some of them not so calculated. But what me and Johnny were saying is, if you work hard, I think you can dig yourself out of any hole, any type of
Oh,
situation
yeah.
you have going on, right? And sure, some of us have way worse hands than others, but don't let that be a deterrent for you being successful. And if you do see an idea, I see it all the time because I watch the hot dog cart videos, right? Like, so my YouTube feed is like these crazy entrepreneurs with, Turo businesses, car washes, hot dogs, laundry mats. Like, I get it all thrown at me, and I think to myself, damn, that would be awesome. So I understand the appeal of it, and it got me here. I listened to some podcast with two jackasses that no longer sell books, and here I am kind of doing my thing years and years later. But it was something where I wouldn't have drug it out, right? If it wasn't financially made sense, like, I wouldn't have kept doing this. I would have stopped
Yeah.
doing this a long time ago. I'm motivated by money. All right. Listen, I know. Breaking news. Mike doesn't care about books. He's only in it for the money. That's all I care about.
There's
When
some
it.
girls out in Vegas that share that exact same philosophy, Mike.
Dude, I only care about the money I can make from this business. So whether it was books or whether it was phones, right? Whether it was remotes, I just wanted to find the path of least resistance to make the most amount of money. And I gave it time while still working a job. So that was calculated. It's not like I just jumped in and said, hey, Deb, guess what? We're going to be living on my Amazon money, and I haven't even sold a damn thing yet, right? Like, that was calculated along the way. So there, I challenge everybody to try something they want to try. You just understand that it can't be your sole reliant source in the beginning because it's going to take time. Even if it is the get rich quick scheme, how many people hit the scratch off lottery? Are broke a year later.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the same thing. It's the same thing when you try a business model or you try something. Even if you get success early on, that doesn't mean long-term success. It's the same thing if me and Johnny stop doing what we're doing, or maybe we've switched some things and our results go down. Just because we get the results we get today, this it's not guaranteed for us to keep getting these results going on. We still, guess what? Even though I'm making more money than I ever have, that means I got to go out more than I ever have. And, that means I'm scanning more than I ever have. It's not like my workload cuts back and my paycheck goes up. That is not the case by any stretch of the
That'd be great if
imagination.
that's the way it worked.
Give me your final thoughts on this.
I mean, the American dream is supposed to be you work really hard and you get paid for your work, right? And I think reselling is a direct correlation of that, but you got to work smart in what you do because you could be spinning your wheels working hard, as in you're just pumping in a lot of hours, but you got to pump in the hours the correct way, whether that's doing research or updating your repricers or sending in inventory actively or changing your sourcing to get better quality of inventory. It's an active production of repurposed hours versus just, well, I went to the little free library, I took all the books and I sent them all into Amazon. I'm going to hope for the best now. That's not going to work long term. You got to know you may take the one book that's actually worth your time from that little free library, or go to a place where you can get more than one book at a time is an even smarter place. So all this stuff compounds, and year over year, you should be a smarter, more savvier reseller than you were the year before. And I do think if you work hard like that, you can indeed live that quote unquote American dream that we've been talking about and hearing about since we were wee little lads and lasses.
I agree. All right, we'll talk to everybody in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.